Welcome to the Benefits Executive Roundtable, hosted by Dorothy Koshu, President of Advanced Benefit Consulting. Dorothy is a nationally recognized benefits and compliance consultant and group health broker. Here, you'll listen to industry experts break down the latest news and trends in employee benefits, healthcare reform, regulations and compliance, all designed to empower executive decisions.
Welcome to the Benefits Executive Roundtable. I'm your host, Dorothy Koshu, President of Advanced Benefit Consulting. I want to welcome my guest today, Maggie Stett of Stett Insurance, who's a Medicare expert, past president of the California Agents and Health Insurance Professionals, CAHIP, past president of CAHIP Orange County, and Medicare Advisor Task Force member for the National Association of Benefits and Insurance Professionals, NABIP. Welcome back, Maggie. This is becoming a real annual thing. Thank you for coming back. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, Dorothy. I always look forward to this and sharing some ideas and letting people know what's happening in senior world.
Yeah.
Especially for agents, there's so much to learn and to do right now.
Right.
Any little bit that can help
Yes. Is
great.
Absolutely. And again, we also have a lot of people that are employees of medical benefit plans. We have a lot of executives, company executives, and so forth as our HR managers, everything as our audience. So we have a very diverse audience. So hopefully this will help everyone. So that's why I'd like to have you back. As I've told you many times before, I think you're the most knowledgeable person that I know in Medicare. So I always like to have you on. So appreciate this very much.
Thank you. And yes, it's so important for especially people in the employer side of the house. There's so many things that you probably are not aware of that if things are not handled in a timely manner, it could actually impact your employees and their finances in the future. So this is very, very important to all regarding the Medicare world.
Right. Well, I appreciate it. As usual, there's a lot to cover on Medicare updates, so let's just dive right into it. It's my understanding that we have 22 new Medicare rules from CMS for agents marketing Medicare plans as of September 30th, 2023 for the Medicare Advantage and standalone Part D plans. That sounds like a lot of new information. I know that we can't cover all of it, but I want to highlight those that seem the most important for agents and therefore their Medicare clients. But before we get into that, let's start with some basics. As you know, I always like to start with the basic for those listeners that may not be experts in Medicare like you. So first of all, what is Medicare Advantage?
Medicare Advantage is actually the insurance plans. They're offered by private companies and they're called Medicare Advantage. They could be Medicare Advantage prescription drugs. Plans could be just Medicare Advantage plans only. And actually, I call them HMO PPO plans. There's a type of PPO plan that's actually an HMO plan. But basically what it says is that Medicare, the A and B of Medicare, is taken over by the HMO plan, the Medicare Advantage plan, and the benefits have to be at least of what original Medicare offers, but many of the plans offer much, much more.
Okay, thank you very much. And what is standalone Medicare Part D plan? I know you and I know this, but sometimes other people listening might not.
Standalone prescription drug plans are just like they sound. They're plans that are separate. Unlike the MAPD plans, they are individual plans. Here in California right now, we have 25 that are available for people to sign in, and they're offered throughout the whole state. They're filed by state. Well, the Medicare Advantage plans are typically filed by counties, so the plans are specific to counties, where the Medicare Part D plans really do cover the entire state, and it's really just for prescription drugs. And the people who typically get those are people that are on a Medicare supplement plan or just on a Medicare A and B only.
Okay, thank you very much for that. And when is Medicare open enrollment this year? Is it the same as prior years, October 15th through December 7th?
Yes, they haven't changed it. So I call it Fall Festival. When I was working, it used to be like budget time, Fall Festival. But actually, this is the time when seniors can make changes to their Medicare Advantage plans, sign up for a Medicare Advantage plan, and also to their standalone prescription drug plans. They can make changes or sign up for the plans.
Okay, thank you. And I know I ask you this every year, but I think it's worth asking again for new listeners. Consumers need to be aware because this open enrollment period affects either themselves or somebody that they know, like a parent, a friend, a coworker, and others. The Medicare options available to Medicare enrollees is vitally important because it affects the type of coverage and care that they're going to receive in 2024 and beyond. What would you say are the most important things that consumers need to know to help their family, their friends, and others that are 65 and older and eligible for Medicare?
Well, keep in mind, you're going to hear a lot of sales pitches and how wonderful every plan is and so forth. It comes down to there's no one best plan. It's what's best for the individual. And when I'm talking about the best plan, so let's talk about Medicare Advantage plans. You want to make sure that your primary care physician and your specialists are in network, because if you're in a Medicare Advantage plan, you have to stay in network. So you want to make sure you have access to the doctors and the hospitals where you want service. For the prescription drug plans, just like in the MABD plans, you have to make sure that your prescription drugs are on their formulary. And when you look, that's the list of drugs. Medicare has a huge formulary, but each plan can pick and choose what drugs they're going to offer. They have to offer in two types of classes, like two statins and et cetera. So you want to make sure that their drugs are on the formulary. The other thing that you have to look at is what's the level or tier. So we have some plans that are up to six tiers. So we're looking at preferred generic, generic, preferred brand, brand, specialty drugs. And then some have even added a separate tier for the insulins, which we have a continuation this year of they cannot charge more than $35 copay for certain insulins. So that's great news. That's continuing this next year. So the most important thing is don't listen to the siren song about this is wonderful, this is great. How does the plan best fit your needs, and are the things covered? The other parts, I mean, there's more things coming up that we've had this year, like grocery coverage, utility coverage, pet sitting, things like pest control, that type of thing. Those are kind of ancillary. They're handy to have, but you want to make sure the core benefits are there.
Okay, well, thank you. Let's talk about the seniors themselves and some important things that they need to know. What can seniors do during open enrollment?
Well, first of all, if they haven't asked for someone to call them and the phone rings, hang up, because no one should be calling you without your explicit permission. Be very careful on responding to some of those ads that you see on TV that sound wonderful. So make sure, I would say, work with your trusted advisor. The reason why, I know I'm an insurance agent, we have to train, we have to know our plans. Make sure you're with someone you can trust to give you the information. Medicare calls us trusted advisors, and there's a reason. It's because we really have to know the plans. We're tested on them. We are held accountable for everything we do. We have high ethics to continue to have you in the plans. So make sure that you're the one who initiated and requested to have information provided. You're going to get a stack of mail. I think my mother-in-law one time got 18 inches high of just mailers. Be very careful in that. If someone says they're from Medicare, Medicare doesn't call you. If someone says they're from Social Security doesn't call you. So be very aware in this day of scamming that you're talking to someone who truly should be calling. Companies may call you, your agent may call you, but you shouldn't be getting a call out of a blue. The other thing to keep in mind is when you look at these plans, make sure you have your prescriptions available. We need to know the name, the dosage, the frequency, what pharmacy you use, if you want to have us look at the drugs. It's optional. And just be very honest and open about that so we can put you with the plan that best fits your needs. And I think that's the phrase to keep in mind this whole time. What best fits you?
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for that. Again, I know I've asked you this in prior years, but I think it's important. So I'll ask it again. I'll keep asking it year after year. What are the most common kinds of questions that seniors have when they're signing up for Medicare for the first time?
Well, I think some of the questions come up is, how do I access my doctor? Is my doctor in the network? What happens if my prescriptions change because formularies can change during the year? Or what happens if my doctor puts me on a drug that is not covered under my formulary? What do I do then? What happens if I'm referred to a doctor that's out of network? Or what if I'm traveling? What is my coverage then? Those are some questions I receive all the time that we work with. Or some other ones I see, they didn't pay my claim. What happened? Or I'm getting billed for my doctor for a service that I thought my plan covered.
Okay. And those are the kind of questions that, of course, their agent and their their trusted advisor can help them with, I'm sure, for all of those types of questions. So I'll ask some more basic questions in a bit, but I want to turn now to the very important changes in the Medicare marketing rules. One of the most important rules for agents helping seniors with Medicare enrollments is that they now prohibit marketing beyond 6 months after a beneficiary completes a scope of appointment or a business reply card. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, that's very important. So what was happening is some people were calling into these call centers, or people were sending in forms to them, and they were calling them. They're even calling them 2 or 3 years later. And no, when you are giving permission through the scope of an appointment or through the BRC, the business reply card, you're giving it for a specific time period, and it should not extend to that. Now, just to let you know, we agents have to keep those pieces of paper or the recordings for 10 years to be compliant. But for us to call you, we should know that it can't be more than 6 months that is active. And that's to protect you. Things change, your health changes, your interest in the different things change. So it's important that it's not an open-ended permission.
Okay, thank you. CMS also prohibits the use of the Medicare name, the CMS logo, and products or information used by the federal government. Tell us about that a little bit more, please.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, some seniors have been getting called to say, I'm from Medicare. What they're neglecting to say, I'm from the Medicare agency. So one of the big problems that we've had is people that are using this as smoke and mirrors to get access to seniors. And so Medicare has said, no, you cannot use our name, you cannot use our logo to promote your sales activity. Now, there are some cases where the TPA, call center or the marketing person can send in and get approval for specific things to use the card or to use the name, but it has to be a case-by-case approval. So again, if anybody says they're from Medicare, no, they're not.
Okay. Well, I don't think this is really new, but CMS prohibits contact for the purpose of selling a policy and considers it door-to-door contact unless an agent has an appointment, correct? What are the rules here?
We are not allowed to do door-to-door. You cannot go door knocking. Here's the other thing that sometimes agents miss. If you have a business reply card and the person has asked you to contact them, you cannot go up and knock on the door and say, I had a business reply card. It's typically for a phone call. So I had a client a few years ago in San Bernardino that had someone knocked on her door and said, well, I'm here to review your plan with you. And so she let her in because she says, oh, I'm with X company. And next thing I know, I get a phone call from her, says she wants me to change this form. But I told her I had you as an agent and I wanted to check. I said, do you have her business card? And she goes, yes. I said, good, keep it. And we shall call upon it because that's illegal activity. So Medicare wants to protect the seniors from somebody that's overzealous and not ethically selling their plans.
Okay, thank
you. Companies feel the same way, by the way.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, CMS also says that marketing events are prohibited from taking place within 12 hours of an education event in the same location. Can you tell us more about this?
Yes, we had this one a number of years ago, but just to bring it back and really explain, you cannot be in the same building or even in the surrounding building within 12 hours if you're going to have a sales meeting or an educational meeting. A sales meeting, just so all of you know, that's where we actually present the plans. We can talk about the coverages. We can actually sign up people. The educational meetings are just strictly learning about Medicare. What is a Medicare supplement? What is an HMO plan? What is a drug plan? How does Medicare work? When I should enroll? That type of thing. So we cannot be at the same venue within 12 hours of each other.
Is that to protect them from maybe thinking that someone else put on the government or someone else put on this meeting in that building and then thinking that that's the same people within the same 12 hours? Is that what that's for? I'm just curious.
No, it's more to protect the seniors so they're not pushed into, they're just learning and then being pushed into plans. But I have seen problems with that where I had a meeting that followed another meeting and they left their materials behind. And so, you know, have to be very careful about that thing and make notes. Just make sure you make notes that there's another meeting because restaurants, it's harder and harder to find a location to give meetings. So we're going to be crossing paths quite a bit. I know a friend of mine who does a lot of scan meetings, he and I kid about it. And we kind of watch out for each other, even though we're competitors, so to say, but we're good friends and make sure we take care of each other's clients that way.
Oh, great. Thank you. I understand that there's a 48-hour requirement prior to the marketing appointment and rules on the scope of appointment. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. And as seniors, people who want to speak to either a company or to the agents directly, you're going to find this a little annoying, but this is what CMS is doing to protect you. So for any of us, whether it's an agent or if you're calling into a company, it's okay. If you're calling into a call center, it's okay. But if you want to talk to an agent and want to have them come out for an appointment, you have to complete the scope of appointment, which you're giving permission for us to speak about Medicare Advantage, prescription drug plans, and so on, dental, vision, and so forth. We have to have a signed paper in our hand 48 hours before meeting with you on that call. And there's been some confusion that a lot of agents say, oh, if you're a client, no problem. I can get the scope signed at the time of the appointment. Well, that's fine if we're only covering what the person is currently on. However, if you're going to go over new plans, different plans from what your client is on, I always say there's some thou shalts in Medicare. This is a thou shalt. Thou shalt have a scope signed within 48 hours. So you have to have that prior to having your meeting. In addition, you have to make sure that if someone walks into your office, then that is called a walk-in, but you need to document that on the scope, just like we had, that it's truly a walk-in. We do not have to have the scope signed at marketing meetings, so that's not required because that's giving permission by you going to a marketing meeting. The other thing is we cannot collect scopes anymore at educational meetings starting September 30th. So you can give us a business reply card, you can call us and request to meet, but just know that we have to have a scope before we complete that meeting with you. And if we don't complete our business within that appointment and you need another appointment, remember, we're going to need to get another scope. So the only time they waive that scope is at the end of the person's enrollment period. In other words, the time that they can enroll in Medicare. So for AEP, so the last 4 days in December, before the 7th, they're going to waive that requirement. But other than that, for AEP, we need the 48-hour scope.
Okay, thank you. That sounds confusing. I don't look forward to being Medicare age and having to deal with all this stuff because it sounds pretty overwhelming at times. Well, there's a requirement for the TPMO disclaimer. Can you tell our listeners that may not know what TPMO means and what this disclaimer is and what its purpose is?
Happy to, Dorothy. The TPMO is Third Party Marketing Organization. So for some reason, Medicare has decided, CMS, that we independent agents, and they're calling us that now, are under TPMO rules. So the new requirement is, this is an extension of what they came out with next year. So what they're saying is, we have to say, now if we market all the plans in the area, we have one disclaimer. If we don't market all the plans in the area, we have a little bit different disclaimer. But basically, it says that any information we provide is limited to those plans we do offer in your area, which are plans offered by, and you can say how many plans you offer. So, and then how many companies you offer, and then you say how many plans you offer. So for instance, I'm licensed in 12 states. So what I'm going to say is I represent X amount of companies that offer X amount of plans in the states that I represent. And there's another thing that's added in there that we now have to include. We're saying that they can call Medicare, either 1-800 Medicare information or go to Medicare.gov, is that they can also go to AHIP for information. That's the independent agency in all the states to assist seniors. So I would say check with your field marketing organization on the right wording of this, but do not not include it. In other words, this is a thou shalt. Agents, CMS may not check the number of plans. They may not check the number of companies. But if you have an allegation, they're going to sure check to make sure that you have that disclosure on all your marketing materials. And that includes your emails, your website, your emails. So make sure you're including that. And if you're selling in a specific area, make sure you're counting the companies and the number of plans you represent. The only hiccup is we're supposed to have this by September 30th, but for actually counting the plans, October 1st is when we'll be able to really see the number of plans. So just be careful in that. I would say on September 30th, put the estimate out there and then tighten it up at the beginning of October. Supposedly about October 5th, 6th, 7th, Medicare should have the full list of all plans in all states and all areas for you to access. So it's kind of a timing thing, but just make sure you use the disclaimer.
Well, thank you, Maggie. I understand that NABIP recently had a big win related to the recording of marketing, sales, and enrollment calls. Can you tell us what changed and what agents can and can't do now? And why is this so exciting?
Well, this year, they had a requirement that we had to record all calls with our clients, whether it was a service call or whether it was a marketing call. Now we're only required to record a marketing or sales call. So if you're setting an appointment, if you're working with a client on servicing issues, you do not need to record. But if you're marketing, if you're going over a plan, so whether it's someone new or whether it's a client, if you're talking about a new plan, thou shalt record. And so for you folks that are on the line that are not agents, we're going to tell you that we need to record your call. If you decide you are not comfortable being recording, then we need to meet face-to-face with you, or we need to conduct our business by email, because Medicare has said thou shalt record the call. So just be aware that, and you're used to it in service calls anyway, when you call into a number of airlines, whatever, they say this call may be recorded, you know the call's being recorded. So we have that requirement, but this was a big win for NABIP to have CMS back off of recording everything. The other thing I want to mention that we've won as well is before, when I was talking about the number of companies you represent and the number of plans you represent, they wanted us to list every company and every plan in every area we represented. So I think I would have 5 pages of email underneath my message to you, which was just crazy town. So we did get them to back off of that. Dorothy's laughing a little because of her working with HIPAA and compliance and this type of thing. It's just like, that's beyond the pale, I think.
Right. Well, you can see me laughing silently as to not interrupt your conversation there. But yeah, it is pretty crazy. And it does sound like a big win. So that's really great. Well, let's talk about agents and brokers. They have to go through a CMS-developed list of items that must be asked or discussed, correct? Can you explain this?
Yes. New this year, even though a number of plans have had that, new this year is the requirement that we have a checklist that needs to be completed. Now, the interesting thing is we don't have to send in the checklist, but it's important the file's documented. And for individuals, for you and for the agents, the idea is just to go through and make sure that all the important points are covered and that there's a full understanding of what the person is signing up for and that it's the plan that meets the needs. In other words, we're going to check off to make sure we checked your prescription drugs. We're going to check to make sure your doctors are in the network. We're going to make sure you understand that you're signing up for the next year or you're signing up for certain time periods. So it's just basically going over the things we should do anyway, but it's just a way of recognizing that these are the important points that both the agent and the individual signing up needs to make sure that we've covered and that you are comfortable with signing up with that plan.
Okay, thank you. That was very helpful, both to agents who may be listening and also to Medicare beneficiaries and their families. Thank you very much for that. I want to go back to some more basic but important information for Medicare enrollees and their families. The big question for many seniors is, how do I sign up? Can you give our listeners some advice on this?
Sure. Well, if you're talking about Medicare sign up, to sign up for Medicare, you actually go through socialsecurity.gov. You set up a My Social Security account. and you would then sign up for Medicare that way. You can call Medicare, or you can call the office, your local office, and set up an appointment with Medicare and go in. This time of the year, it may be 3 to 6 weeks before you can get in. An agent may help you with that. They can help you with the online recording of your application. But most people, it's not a horrendous thing to do. It's just a step-by-step. How do you sign up for plans? One, you can meet with a trusted agent in person. You can go to a sales meeting. You can go to a company reps meeting. You can go online to a TPMO, people that are call in, you know, like the ads you saw and that type of thing. You can call directly to a company. The only thing, keep in mind, if you're going through a TPMO, a call center, or you're going through a company directly, your customer service and all your servicing will be directly with the company. It'll not be with a trusted advisor agent. If you work with an agent or a company rep, many times the ones that are out in the field, then you will have someone you can go to that can help you then on in. You're actually our clients. We're old-fashioned agents. We're going to help you step by step with the type of things. But keep in mind, customer service is always there by the companies. But you have several avenues you can go through.
Well, thanks, Maggie. Let's talk about Medicare supplement plans. What do these cover and why are they important?
Medicare supplement plans are actually insurance plans that wrap around Medicare A and B. So what that means is Medicare A and B pays first, it's primary, and then Medicare supplement plans wrap around those benefits. And because it's designed to do that, they don't often offer all those extra benefits I talked about. Now, there are a couple that offer vision and hearing benefits, but other things like groceries, transportation, all that, those are ancillary benefits that are not offered under the Medicare supplements. The advantage of the Medicare supplement plans are that you may go to any doctor, any hospital, any provider within the United States, Puerto Rico, Guam, the Virgin Islands, that agrees to accept Medicare. So you don't have referrals. So you can go where you want to go, but you don't get the little extra things. The other thing to keep in mind with Medicare supplement plans, they do not include prescription drug coverage. So you do have to get a standalone prescription drug plan. Many of my clients that have Medicare supplement plans prefer them because they may travel all over the United States a lot, or they may have physicians like that are in different parts of the state. They may want to go to one organization. Let's say they want to go to UCLA, or they want to go to Scripps, or they want to go out of town to Johns Hopkins or the Mayo Clinic. So the Medicare supplement people can do that. They do pay a premium. Monthly premium. It's based on their age and where they live. And every year the rates go up. And there's several different plans that they can choose from. And all the plans are exactly the same for every company, except for the ones that offer hearing and vision benefits. But otherwise, the medical, everything else is exactly the same, but they can change their rates and they can change when they put those rates out for you. But Medicare supplement plans have long been in the marketplace and people love them.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks, Maggie. Many employer plans continue to offer coverage to all of their full-time employees, even if they're over age 65. What are their options if they're still working and over 65, both for the employer and for the senior?
Well, that's something that each person has to really consider. For the employer, if you're under 20 lives in your company, you could decide whether or not you're going to offer coverage to employees that are 65 or older. You can say no. If your company is over 20 lives, you're offering the coverage to your employees over 65. For employees, you can decide whether you want to continue on the employer plan or if you want to come off of the employer plan. There's advantages and disadvantages to both. The advantages for the employee to stay on employer plan is they might have a younger spouse. They might have children that are still in college or still in school that they need to have coverage. So typically those individuals will stay on the employer plan. The employer plan may have stronger drug coverage or different formularies that are more attractive to the senior. So they need to stay on the plan. So they can stay on as long as they're working and they're actively employed. For the under 25 employee group, if they're offering the coverage, Medicare says you shall get Medicare A and B regardless because Medicare is primary on those small group plans. So I always say check with the company because some plans will waive that Part B, Medicare being primary. So that's between you and your company. But mostly just the rules are, as far as Medicare is concerned, 20 or more employees in the company, you don't need to go onto Medicare. Under 20, you should go on Medicare. And on the over 20, when they're ready to come out, it's as long as their coverage is creditable. That means it's equal to at least the requirement by Medicare for drug coverage. It's meaning the deductible plus the 75-25% coverage, 25% by the individual. As long as it's creditable, and you, those letters go out, as you all know, every November, and you can check with your insurance company. As long as the plan is creditable, you do not need to take in Medicare until you're ready to leave the company or you're ready to leave the plan and go on to Medicare. So the other thing right now, be very cautious about, COBRA is not creditable. So you may go on to COBRA, but thou shalt go on Medicare Part A and B. There's some thou shalts. And that's where we as agents are happy to help and walk you through this, because I don't want anyone to be hit with the penalty of Medicare, 10% for the Part B if they don't get it within 12 months, go 12 months without coverage, or the Part D if they go 63 days after leaving an employer plan, they get a 1% penalty for the rest of their lives. So there can be some heavy penalties. So you need to make sure that you're meeting the rules and the regs, but don't panic about it. It's not that difficult. It's just a matter of saying, here's my situation. What do I need to do now to make sure that I'm covered and I don't get hit with the penalties? So just remember, COBRA is not creditable. Covered California is not creditable. An individual plan past 65 is not creditable. So those are things we have to take a look at. And a lot of people get confused about COBRA. COBRA is not an employer plan. Once someone is paying their own premium, it becomes an individual plan. So the individual plans take precedence at that point. So just remember, employers, be very careful when you're saying, yes, you have COBRA benefits, but if the person is over 65 or they have a spouse that's over 65 or older, they need to talk about the penalties and when to sign up for Medicare. It's not a slam dunk. That's very important to know.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I know that I asked you this last year, and you kind of just talked about it, but I want to come back to it because I think it bears repeating and it's pretty important. What are the pros and cons of dropping off of a group health plan and signing up for Medicare?
Well, some of the pros, I mean, the medical coverage is wonderful. I will say that. If you're going into an HMO plan, you're not typically, in most areas, you're not paying a premium. There are some plans with a premium. And there could be low copays, lower maximum out-of-pockets, and a lot of additional services. However, you are paying for Part B, and Part B has a cost. The base price this year is $164.90. We'll find out in November the new rates. But if you have a higher income, you will pay more for your Part B, and it could be substantially more than what you're paying for your employer plan. So that's something we have to look at. This is a financial decision. So we have to look at that side too. So if you're a well-paid individual in a company and your income is well over $184,000 as a couple, then we need to look at that Part B because you're going to be charged IRMA. It's an income adjusted amount. So that started out when the ACA plans came in. So that's something to take into account. So low MOOPs, low copays. On the Medicare supplement side, you're paying a premium monthly. You're paying your Part B. And because you're going into the G plans or lower, you're going to pay the $226 deductible, and then everything's 100%. But the prescription drug plans, you're paying a premium for. There may be a deductible, but the prescription drug plans are way different than they are under the employer plans. We have different phases of coverage and so forth. So that's another area we have to look at. The employer plans, typically you have a deductible and then a copay for your drugs. So that's an important area to look at. Though sometimes I will mention that for my seniors that are 65 and older, that are in the job market, a lot of times, especially for smaller firms, when they come up, they don't, you can't ask them, but they volunteer, oh, I'm on Medicare, I'm not interested in your employer plan. They may be a more attractive employee to you because you don't have to pay for Medicare for them, because pay for their employer plan because they can waive off. So there's a lot of pros and cons. Typically, I find the dental and the vision coverage may be richer on the employer plans. Don't know. So there's a lot of moving parts to consider. So the employer and the individual need to take a close look as to see what plan, again, best fits their needs.
Okay, thank you. What do you think a senior should be looking for if they're looking for an agent to assist them?
You need to have an agent that's been in the business for a number of years. You want to make sure that you need to check on what plans they're certified to sell. You don't want to be with someone that just says, oh, I only represent these two companies, or I feel MedSup's are the way to go, or I only feel HMO's the one to go. You want someone that has a good breadth and a deep knowledge so that they can give you as many plan options. The other thing is you don't want no one enjoys being hard sell. You want to have someone that's collaborative and really sits down and listen to you. At any time you don't feel comfortable with that person, end the appointment and find somebody else. Ask your friends and neighbors. They can refer you to a knowledgeable agent that they've been happy with. Many times your employer plans agent, they may not be a Medicare agent, but they know other good agents. Another great way, Dorothy and I belong to the association, NABIP, National Association of Benefit Insurance Professionals. They have Find an Agent, and you can look for a Medicare agent on that as well.
So what do the seniors need the most help with, and how can an agent assist them best?
I think they need the help most with understanding their options, understanding, first of all, when to go on Medicare and how do I go on Medicare. Once we go through that, then it's what plan best fits my needs. What are my choices? And then later on, when they're on the plans, it's, well, my plans have changed. My health's changed. My prescription's changed. What options are out there? Or I'm moving or so forth. So any of those questions you have, we can help you with that.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time. This has been very helpful information, as usual. You know that you're my go-to girl for Medicare questions, that's for sure. If someone out there is listening that would like to reach out to you with questions or assistance, how can they do that?
I'd be delighted if you could reach out to me on my email address, which is mstedt, S-T-E-D-T, at stedtinsurance.com. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that I can. If I don't know, we know people. We'll get you some answers.
Okay. Thank you very much, Maggie. I really appreciate your taking so much time with me again today. And for all the great information, as I said, you're my go-to person for sure on Medicare.
Well, I really want to thank you for this opportunity, Dorothy. It's always great talking with you and always enjoy working with you. And I'm always happy to help where we can. And just remember, safe selling and safe enrolling. Just make sure you're taking care of yourself. And don't be shy about asking questions, because you're not the first one to ask it. And we want to make sure that you're getting the best information and finding the best plans and options for you and for your employees.
Thank you very much, Maggie. And to everybody out there listening, please stay safe, stay healthy, and stay tuned for the next episode of the Benefits Executive Roundtable. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for compliance tips, cost containment ideas, new trends, and decision-making tools. This podcast is produced by Advanced Benefit Consulting, Anaheim, California. All views expressed are those of the host or interviewees and not necessarily those of Advanced Benefit Consulting. Information contained herein should not be construed as legal advice. We always recommend that you consult with your legal counsel, as situations do vary. Ms. Koshu can be reached at 714-693-9754 extension 3, toll free at 866-658-3835, or visit our website at advancedbenefitconsulting.com.